let's go ahead and stand and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, very familiar passage, especially when we do missions. Now, this is not specifically talking about missions in the sense of missions. It's talking about a gift for those that are in need in Jerusalem. And that's the background of this text. Paul is writing to the church there because they had promised, as we read this morning, they promised a year ago that they would give, and they didn't give. And Paul went out bragging about their zeal of wanting to give these churches in Macedonia to those that were in Jerusalem. And it turns out this particular group of people did not give any money to help that. And so he's writing to them and sharing these thoughts. And again, these are applicable to faith promise as we look this morning. So let's begin reading. I'm just going to read the first six verses. We'll probably look at all the way through verse 15. Well, chapter 8 and chapter 9. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your words this morning. We thank you for allowing us to be part of missions. We thank you so much that you sent your son to die on the cross and that somebody came to us and shared the gospel, whether it be a tract or a person. But these folks who were diligent to do such, to invite us, were in a sense missionaries themselves. Help us as we see the need to be faithful to the missions that you've called us to, whether it's here or anywhere else in this world. Now, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're going to, today, we're going to renew our faith promise in just a little bit after this. But it's really, this is all about learning and practicing grace giving. And that's what he's talking about here, is grace giving. In verse 1, he said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." That grace bestowed on them was the grace that they gave money to help the churches in Jerusalem and to encourage them. So this is what we're talking about today, is grace giving. You know, you were saved by grace. It was God's grace that you understood, and God drew you to Him through the Spirit of God, and you understood your need for a Savior because of your sin, and you accepted Him, and that grace was bestowed on you. And you today, for those that are saved, are born again, have Christ living, or the Spirit of God living in you today. And that was by grace. So we're saved by grace, but also the Word of God teaches us how to live by grace. And part of that living is understanding how to give by grace. Jesus Christ, He gave the ultimate. He paid that price on the cross. Again, demonstrating God's grace to us. Well, we have the opportunity by God's grace to understand He has something greater for us to do in the area of missions. You see, the mission field is not Matt Northcutt's alone. It's not the O'Briens. It's not the Lockharts. It's not the Hits. It's not Gerald Fielder and his son. It's not Theo. It's ours. We need to take ownership of that. God told us to go in all the world. Now, He knows that you and I, as individuals, can't go everywhere and be everywhere all the time. And that's what missions is about. And missions began in chapter 13 of Acts, when the church called Barnabas and Saul. By the Holy Spirit, they laid hands on them and sent them out. And Paul completed three missionary journeys. And this last one, where this letter is coming from, was the one to take up the collection for the saints in Jerusalem. And so as we think about this, and I want you to put yourself in this mind frame, yes, we are to be witnesses. Yes, we are to live a life that's a testimony to the Lord and what He's done. But also our giving is indicative of our heart and what we believe God wants us to do. And as God lays on your heart in the area of faith promise, He wants you to do it. It's not something that you calculate. I know some people think, well, you just calculate that and figure it. That is not grace giving. That is, I calculated it up and that's what I can do. What can God do is what I'm asking. Can He do more? I say yes. I know He can do more. But we have to be willing to step out, even though it may not add up, realizing that God can do more with us when our heart is right toward God. And that's what we're going to see a little bit this morning. So this whole thing that we're going to be looking at, it's all about the giving. In fact, Paul, when he was sharing with the Ephesian rulers as he was coming back from Macedonia, he was at Miletus, in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so from that text and from that thought, this is what Paul is doing as he's writing to the church there at Corinth, is to help them, to encourage them about their giving. So tomorrow I want to share a message. Grace giving is a heart matter. Grace giving is a heart matter. When you give and how you give and how much you give, that demonstrates where your heart is. If God's first in your life or not. Now, that's between you and God. That's why it's called faith promise. That's why nobody writes your name on this slip. I have no idea who gives what. Today, I don't know who gives what. And I've never really known except for myself. And sometimes I forget. But I'm not in the business of finding out what anybody gives. But God knows. And that's what's important. Your heart is indicative of your giving. So here we see that he is talking about grace giving in spite of circumstances in verses 1 and 2. In verse 2 he says, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. He says these folks were not rich. The church at Philippi was not rich. The third church at Thessalonica was not rich. These people didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of means. They weren't wealthy and rich, you know, and they were just common folks trying to make ends meet, trusting the Lord, knowing that He would provide for them. And yet, we see what has happened here in this great trial of affliction. And, you know, the Bible talks about some of that affliction. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. Hold your place here in 2 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 for a second. The church at Thessalonica is one of those churches that had given. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 14 and 15. And he's just talking here. Paul is writing to them. In verse 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. He's saying these people were experiencing the same thing that they were experiencing in Jerusalem. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. He says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's chapter 4. That's not the right verse. I went from the next page. Sorry about that. Verse 3, it says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. And he's telling them and warning them is this fact is that as we walk in this life as Christians, you will suffer persecution. If you are dedicated to the Lord, you're willing to live a godly life, you're willing to stand for the things of Christ, persecution will be part of your life. If we are not willing to do that, you will not be persecuted. You can be like everybody else. And especially Christianity today in this world is everybody wants to fit in. Christians are not to fit in. They are to be different according to the Scripture. These people understood that. Paul was writing to them and say, this is going to happen. So these people were suffering great afflictions, but yet they were also in deep poverty. In other words, they didn't have money. They didn't have the means, as we meant and said. They had some difficulties. And we have to ask ourselves, is our testimony like this? When times get tough, do we cut back on giving first? Is that the first thing we stop? I want to tell you something. When you start having financial problems, don't cut out your giving first to God. That's a mistake. That's the mistake most Christians make, because they really are not locked in on the fact that they're put God first. They're locked on the fact that's my money. I could use that somewhere else. I could pay a bill, or I could do this. Yeah, you're supposed to pay your creditors, but you know what? God is supposed to get your first fruits. Can I hear an amen? Is that true? Yes, it's true. And so don't cut back on your giving. Now, faith promise is a different thing, because faith promise, you're by faith praying that God will give you the money. If the money doesn't come in, you don't have it. But then also, I want you to realize there's some sacrifice. Just like these folks were in deep poverty, maybe you cut out that coffee you have to buy. Maybe you cut out that Coke you have to buy. Maybe you cut out your gas to go shopping 10 miles away, or not 10, but 50. How far is Augusta? 60 or 70 miles, whatever, 90 miles. But maybe you say, I can't do that. Why? Because God's first in my life. You see, there are a lot of things. I don't know about you, but I can look in areas of my life and find things that I can cut out real quick. I can say, I don't need this, or I don't need that. And that's what we're talking about here. These people were in deep poverty. These people were suffering great afflictions. But no matter their circumstance, they were still willing to give. They were still willing to do this by grace. You know this word grace, it says it was of the grace of God. That phrase of the grace is a Greek word, charis. We have a little girl named Charis today. If you want to know what her name means, it's grace. It's defined as manner or act. In other words, the things that we do, it's a concrete act that we do. That's what God will work in our lives. When you're a Christian and you start to studying the Word of God and you see what God wants you to do, you act upon it. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, James tells us. And that's exactly what they're talking about. We all have great intentions, right? I'll tell you, I have great intentions. I'll tell my wife, I'm going to get to that. 6 months later, says, what about this? Oh, I'm going to get to that. We have great intentions, but we don't do what we say. And that's not the way that these folks acted. This is the way the church at Corinth acted. Corinth didn't do what they were supposed to, but these others in Macedonia did. And what happened because of this? What was their testimony after the fact? Turn back over to your passage there in 2 Corinthians and look at this in their deep poverty, in their great trial of affliction. First off, it says, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Joy? Does being in affliction bring joy to you? It should. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If God puts you in a situation, we need to realize that He is still first in our lives. What's the acronym or the acrostic for joy? Jesus, others, yourself. If you get that lined up right, you will have joy in your life, no matter what your circumstance is, no matter that you're in a great affliction. But also, look at this, in their poverty, in their deep poverty, let me be clear, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. This is talking about they gave liberally. They gave what they had. They gave more than they had. How do I know? We're going to read the rest of the passage in a minute. And so these people, regardless of their circumstances, were willing by grace to give to these folks and help them out. And they were giving to God. And it was the grace of God that enabled them to do that. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to work in our lives, shake us up, help us to understand as we look to Him that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, as Paul said, but it's the things that God wants us to do. The will of God is possible in the power of God if we're willing to serve God. That's the point. And these people were there. Grace giving is enthusiastic, okay? Look at verse 3. He says, for to their power, Paul says, I bear record, yea. And beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You know, you can give a lot of money, but if you don't do it with the right heart attitude, God's not pleased with it. You can give 50% of your salary, but if you're not walking close to the God, God's not pleased with that. The first thing He wants is your heart. and you get your heart right, no matter what you put in the plate, that's going to please God. Why? Because you're going to do it in the will of God. Remember the widow woman gave two mites, a farthing, I think it is. And they looked at that, the Pharisees, and thought, that's nothing. But the fact is, it was all she had. Her heart was right. The Pharisees weren't, even though they gave more. And so we want to be careful that we realize this has got to do with our hearts and having that right heart attitude that we give enthusiastically. The Macedonian believers needed no prompting. They were on board and they wanted to be a part of helping out. They wanted to be part of the fellowship of the ministering to the saints in Jerusalem. We want to be part of the fellowship of the ministering to those that, saints that are in these places that we support. When we support them with a right heart attitude, then the very things that they do will be given to us on our account. We'll be part of that ministry, the fellowship of that ministry. When someone gets saved, part of that is on us. And that's a good thing, by the way, because that's what we want, isn't it? That's how we go into all the world. And so here he's saying it's the fellowship of the ministry. And look at here, he said, this grace giving, it was within their power. When he says the first thing, that part there says, for their power I bear record. Their power is, let's see what I got in my pocket. Well, I'm in trouble. I don't have anything in my pocket. I don't even have a wallet. But anyway, I have nothing. That's my power right now. Now let me go home and see if I can find a checkbook, you know, or something like that. But that's all they gave was what was in their power. They did the calculation. Well, I got to pay this bill, this bill, this bill, this bill, that bill, this bill, and that bill. And so I can only give this much. That's my power. But he said, what did he say in the next statement? He says, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now that is supernatural spirit walking with God power. Did we, you in Sunday school this morning, you heard about the messengers that were sent to kill David, and how God used Samuel to cause the Spirit of God to come upon them, and those messengers were confounded to the task that they were there to do. That was the power of God. You know, I serve the same God that David served. I serve the same God that David served. Now, things work a little different from those times to now, because we have this, and David didn't. And so as I study the Word of God and find out God's plan for my life, He is going to take care of me as I learn to walk in His ways and prepare my life in such a way that I'm trying to please God. And if I will do that, He will enable me to give more than I ever thought I could if my heart is right with God. Because grace giving is a heart matter. Do I love God more than I love anything else? Do I love God more than my cable TV? Do I love God more than my new car? Do I love God more than my guns or my motorcycles or whatever junk I got in my house? Do I love God more than that? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Because that's grace giving. If we love those things more than we love God, we're not able to give beyond our power. And we're going to calculate it out and figure out, this is all I can do. God wants us to do more. You remember the widow woman in 1 Kings chapter 17, way back when she had nothing. And I think it was Elijah came up and he told her to fix him some bread. Well, I just got this little bit of meal and oil, and I'm getting a couple sticks to start a fire. Me and my son are going to eat it and we're going to die. He told her, says, you fix me the bread first. She gave her all without really knowing what the next thing was going to happen other than she's going to die. And of course, God supplied and kept that cruse filled with oil until that famine was over. God can do that, but we won't let Him. We say, God, just keep your hands off of it. I don't want you involved in my life. I don't want you to show me something strong and mighty. I don't want you to show me some spiritual great thing. I don't want to see it, God, because I got it all under control. It's under my power and it's under what I want it to do. And I'm doing these things, but, you know, I love you. I really do. But, you know, still I got all this stuff and I got to tend to it too. But I really do love you. That's sometimes what we do. I do that. That's not grace giving. Look what it says. They were willing of themselves. That is, it was voluntarily done. It was spontaneous. It was by grace and not pressure. You may be sitting in the seat and say, Pastor's pressuring me to give money for faith promise. Well, I want to tell you something. Come to the altar and get your heart right. It's the Word of God that you ought to be listening to. It's the Word of God that ought to be challenging you. It's the Word of God that says, get out of your seat and do something. And that's what we all need to have in our lives, is God. Do I hear an amen? Thank you, Henry. It's true. They were willing of themselves. It was Spirit-led. Verse 4 says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They were praying, saying, oh, please, send Titus Aristarchus and Sopater and I can't remember all the people that were there in Acts, but send those guys because we want to give them a gift. They really wanted God to do a work. And they wanted to be part of that work. Grace-giving. Spirit-led. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, the grace of God will open your heart and your hand. Your giving is not the result of cold calculation, but of a warm heart jubilation. It's true, isn't it? It is true. So grace giving, we see that even in difficult circumstances, we can give grace giving. Even as we give, we want to give grace-giving enthusiastically. In other words, remember what it said in 9, we read it today, that we're to put our money into the offering plate in what kind of manner? With a cheerful heart. That's hilarious, is what the Greek word means. But grace-giving is because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. It says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So Jesus is our example. These Macedonia Christians understood. They gave, and they gave what? Themselves. And that's what you have to do, is give yourself first. When you give yourself, the Lord has all of you. I told you that about that guy that got saved and he had his wallet in his back pocket and he got baptized and the pastor told him, said, hey, you need to take that out. I said, hey, the Lord saved all of me. Now, we probably wouldn't do that. But the fact is, he understood the principle. That's what we need to do, is understand the principle that he has me. He has me. I am bought with a price. I'm to glorify God. I'm to walk with him. I'm to look to Him and ask Him what my next step is. I'm to seek His face and say, Lord, show me, teach me. That's why it's so important that I want our church to be in the Word of God, and I want you to be looking at the Word of God and taking the Word of God and challenging yourself, as God will, through the Spirit, challenge you to do something. And then be able to say, I've been reading the Word of God, and it is challenging my heart to do something, and do it. Sometimes we get lackadaisical about the Word of God. We'll just redo it. Well, I already know this. I've read this passage before. And then we won't take the challenge from God. He's trying to speak to our hearts and we won't listen. Because we read it with our eyes closed and our ears shut and our hearts completely shut off to the things of God. We need to learn how are we to give ourselves to the will of God. How are we to give ourselves like Jesus Christ did? Paul sent Titus back for the collection in verse 6. He came back with this letter, or with maybe the previous letter, and he came back to actually get the money. And so Paul is exhorting them to give like the Lord Jesus Christ gave. Look at verse 7. He said, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What he's talking about, these folks here had a problem with spiritual gifts. They were proud, and one spiritual gift was above another, and I've got the gift of prophecy, and I got the gift of tongues, and I got this and that. And of course, he shut them down and says, hey, hold it. We need all these gifts. There's none greater than the other. The greatest thing is charity, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, above all of these gifts. And yet, that's what he's saying. That's what you're doing, but you're leaving off the grace giving part. He says, you're not doing that. And that's all part of this Christianity that God has given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, is learning to give. In fact, that's one of the greatest things when you and I get saved, is to understand it's the giving that matters. Jesus died on the cross. God gave His own Son. I accepted Christ as my Savior. And what I said basically was, "You're the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow You." Now, I didn't know that when I got saved, okay? But that's what the study of the Word of God does for me. It helps me to know that. And it teaches me the steps I'm supposed to take and how I'm supposed to live. Am I supposed to be different? Yeah. Did I want to be different? No. I'm like everybody else. I want to be popular. I'm not a popular person, so it's real hard. But I want to have friends. I want to do what they did. I want to act like they did. And I still have problems with it. But that's not God's plan for my life. He said, "Hold it. You're on the wrong path. Come over here. I want to show you something." And that's when I started learning to walk. But I keep running off the path, and I have to go back to it. But it's all about the grace of God that's done that. Giving myself to Him, allowing Him to choose where I'm supposed to live, allowing Him to choose what I'm supposed to do as far as work. Some of us choose our own work and say, "It doesn't matter if I can't be faithful to church or be faithful to God." Now, if I'm stepping on toes, I'm sorry, but that's what putting yourself or giving yourself to God is being faithful to the things of God. If you choose to do something, whatever it is, and it chooses, like forgiving, if you just choose, "I'm not going to give because I don't want to," even though the Lord's saying, "You ought to give," then you're walking apart from God. We make those decisions. God wants all of us. The spouse you married, if you were saved, ought to be a saved person that God chose and picked out for you. All of this is God's will, is to put Him first. And so these folks did that. They understood that. They were willing to live according to the Word of God by giving themselves and trusting Jesus Christ for whatever He was going to do. You see, he goes on, he says, "I speak not by commandment." So now he's telling them, he says, "This is not by the commandment of the Word of God, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love." He's saying, let me step outside of the Word of God and tell you that I have seen others give, and you need to prove your sincerity, that you really believe, that you're really willing to, by grace, live according to the Word of God. And so he's saying, you need to step out, prove it, by the sincerity of your love. What does the love do for us? The love of Christ, it constraineth us, meaning it motivates us or moves us to do what the Word of God says or speaks to our heart to do. And God wants to do something in my life, and He wants to do something in your life. And He wants to do it now. You know, I kid you not, when I first started going to Bible college, I remember thinking in my mind, "I can't wait till I get out of Bible college so I can do something for God." I mean, I don't know. That's just the way we think sometimes, or I did. And it took me a while to realize that that's kind of dumb, by the way. You're a child of God today, now. You need to be doing what God wants you to do right now, which for me in that position was to go to school. So I was in the will of God, doing what God had called me to do, and I knew that. That's why I never deviated in the 7 years it took me to get through the program, because I knew that's what God wanted me to do. But he goes on, he talks about Jesus. He says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Jesus Christ was rich and is rich. Why? He is God. He's rich. He's eternal. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, right before the Great Commission, he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He didn't say a little bit of power. He didn't say some power. He said all power. Who has all power? Nobody but God. Jesus Christ, who was rich, became poor. Why? So He could change my life. So He could reconcile me to God. So He could transform me to be more like Him and less of what I am. Why? That I might please God, who saved me for His purpose and not mine. And we have the opportunity to be part of that in this ministry of fellowship of giving, just as Paul is talking to these folks, that they were in the fellowship. They couldn't wait to give so they could be part of that fellowship. And it's not about how much. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. If you pray and God says you need to start giving faith promise a penny a week, you do it. It's the heart. But if you've been giving for a while and you know you ought to step up to the plate and sacrifice a little and maybe give $5 more or $1 or whatever it is, you do it if God lays it on your heart. But you have to be seeking God's face to do it. Because if you're doing it because pastor said, go do it, it's not going to be blessed. You wasted your money. Do it because you love the Lord and He is impressing upon your heart that you can give more because He is in your life. That's grace giving. And Jesus, He demonstrates that for us. He's the one who came to this world being in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant. This is God becoming a servant. I bet we would have a hard time with that. I would. You mean I got to start all over? I got to be the guy that sweeps the floor all the time and gets kicked around and fussed at and yelled at? And you're only going to pay me $2 an hour? I think my first job was like $1.45 an hour. And you're going to pay me that? I got to start all over? That's what Jesus did. He who was God came to be a servant. He didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister to us. And that's what He's done. And He's given us the grace to live the life that He's called us to live. Yes, the sacrificial lamb. Yes, it was Jesus Christ. So we ought to give because Jesus Christ is our example. But grace giving is accomplished when we have that willing heart. Look at verse 10 through 15. We're almost done. It says, "And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." It says, you promised a year ago, you ought to fulfill your promises. When we make a vow or we make a promise to God, then we should keep those promises. Every one of us have made a lot of promises to God, and I, for one, know that I don't keep all those. That ought to be convicting to us and say to us, we need to go back and try to correct that and keep the promises we made. So that's what He's telling. He says, a year ago you promised you're not doing it. Verse 11 says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will," you had a readiness to will a year ago, "so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." In other words, don't just be hearers, but be doers of the word, okay? "For if there be first a willing mind," you know where a willing mind comes from? A heart that's surrendered to God. When you got saved, you started changing your life, did you not? You started saying to God, "Lord, show me something in your word." Or maybe you came to church, you didn't know the Bible, and you didn't even know where anything was in the Bible, but you sat there and you listened, and God started working in your heart, and the Spirit of God started speaking to you, and you said, "Man, I'm going to change. I'm going to do something there." Every one of us have experienced that, right? Amen? Yeah. And it could be simple as tithing, the first time you gave a tithe. When I first gave tithe, I gave it because I could spare $6. I didn't know what a tithe was. I wasn't even saved, but the church was taking collection, and I was there, so I'm going to give money to it. I didn't know. But God didn't bless that. That wasn't God lead me or direct me to do that. That was just me thinking, well, everybody else is doing it, I'm going to do it. That's not Christianity. A form of godliness is what that was. But here He's saying in verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind," which is really our heart, "it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened." What He's saying is, I'm not here preaching to you and telling you you should give and not other people shouldn't give. I'm telling you, yes, you should give, but everybody should be giving. We all ought to have this burden. Because when many people, God's people, will do the work of God, it's a whole lot easier. Every one of those missionaries have gone to churches, 40, 50, 60 churches, to get support. And every one of those churches that support them, however many that is, I don't know, that support them, they're part of this ministry. It makes it a lot easier for them to do the work of the ministry on the field because somebody's behind them supporting them. That's what He's saying. We need to be able to do that, to support these guys. There are more missionaries out there that need support. We ought to grow in this grace and get to the point where we can actually support maybe one or two or three or 100 more if God so deems it. God can do big things with a small group of people if our heart is with God and He's first. So he talks about this and he goes on and says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much and hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no lack." What he is teaching us in this is that we as Christians, now we do this all the time, and I'm very guilty of this. There are times when I have needs. Now, you may not know about that, but there are times when I have needs and I probably ought to share those. Not that I'm trying to get something from anybody, but it's biblical that we help each other. If I know that you have a need, a financial need or something that I can do to help you, I'm going to help you. Okay? If I can do something, I will do it. If I can't, then I can maybe tell you or call somebody else or tell somebody. But that might be the extent of it. But the point is that the abundance that I have, I need to share with those that don't have that abundance at a particular time. Whether it's money or time or talents, those are all under the fact that we are servants of God. And our heart ought to be prepared to do whatever God calls us to do, wherever it is He calls us to do it. And that's all He's teaching us, is that those that gave, they helped those that didn't have. And one day you're going to be in that position where you're going to need, and someone's going to give and help you. Everyone in this room could stand up and give a testimony, I would think, and say, there was a time in my life, I was in a situation, I needed some help, and somebody helped me. I'm talking about a Christian helped you. Now, God uses non-Christians too, by the way. But a Christian helped you. Why? Because that's God's plan. That's grace living. That's grace giving. That's by the grace of God, we are who we are, and that is a child of God. Is our heart right? Are we willing to give? Not just the tithe and the faith promise to support missionaries, but to give the talents, the time we have, and the treasures we have to God. That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Giving is just part of it. Your time is part of it. And your treasures and talent, all of it is. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you for the examples that you give us in the Word of God. Years ago, as I went through this passage, I realized that I was never really like one of these people. I remember reading Jim Elliot's biography and thinking to myself, well, I'm nothing like that. I've never really given myself to you. And it really helped me to understand why it was so hard to be willing to give. Not just in my power, but beyond my power. Today, Father, I pray you would speak to each one of our hearts and help us to have that heart that we're willing, by grace, to not only give to help missionaries, but to give our time and our talents to support the local ministry here where you have called us to be a part of. Father, have your way in each one of our lives, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.